Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. It is Friday, September 28th. Week four started last night. We had a great game, which I'm going to go over in a second. Remember, every Wednesday, send questions my way. Every Wednesday, I will pick a few questions to answer, the ones that I think are going to be relevant and make the most sense to go over at that time. If you guys have a question on a player, college prospect, something you saw on the field, what have you, you can send those all to stevethescout81@gmail.com. Also, follow me on Twitter at stevethescout81. Facebook, I'll be honest, you know, right now, most of the social media activity that I'm seeing is on Facebook. So definitely engage on there. The Twitter is something that I'm getting going and going to continue to build off of. But definitely engage with me on both. I try to release information that's not necessarily going to be on the show or just my quick thoughts on things. So again, SteveTheScout81, you can follow me on Facebook at the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. So that being said, you know, let's break down the action that happened in last night's game between the Los Angeles Rams and the Minnesota Vikings. After that, I'm going to go into all the different games from this week and just quickly kind of break down the matchups that I want to see and really give you my prediction in terms of who I think is going to win. And to be honest, I'm not even sure if I really want to go the direction of predicting who's going to win anymore, because at this point, I mean, this has literally been the hardest year I can think of, first few weeks to actually predict a winner. So, I don't even know if I want to predict a winner. What I will do is I'll just give you a good way at looking at that matchup, because look, it's tough to predict who's going to win nowadays. It really is. You know, who would have thought last week that the Buffalo Bills would have blown out the Minnesota Vikings like they did? So stuff happens. So I'm going to break it down, give you guys a unique perspective. Let's start out with last night's game. So this was a shootout, and I got to say, this game, I will probably remember this game for a very, very long time, if not the rest of my life, as one of the best regular season games I saw in terms of quarterback play. The amount of difficult throws that both Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff had to make last night were incredible. The windows they had to throw into last night, I mean, you can't throw into tighter windows than what those guys threw into last night, and they were consistent over and over and over again, dropping it into the bucket. Not one of them had an interception, just incredible quarterback play. I got to say, you know, Jared Goff, I don't know how you could be any more accurate than that guy. You know, even in his rookie year, I know people thought, you know, he might have been a bust for a bit. But man, his college tape was clean. And what I loved is, you know, he's super accurate. He can anticipate and he's got a strong enough arm and he can pick apart defenses. And when you look at, you know, what he has now, you know, with that coaching relationship with Sean McVay, that's really what's helped him go to the next level, I believe. Sean McVay is one of the smartest coaches in football. Interesting. I saw a segment with him last week where you can name any play that ever happened on the Rams, and you could say, okay, second down and 7, 4 minutes and 50 seconds to go versus the New Orleans Saints, week 8. 2017, what happened? And he'll tell you exactly what happened. I mean, the guy has a special memory. I mean, you know, he's a coach at 32 years old. So impressive what he's able to do there. But looking at last night, yeah, it was really the quarterback play was absolutely outstanding. What really won the game for the Rams was that, you know, more so than the Minnesota Vikings, they were able to get a pass rush going. The game was all offense pretty much the whole way through, But towards the end of the game, Aaron Donald really started to heat up. He started to generate a lot more pressure. He got in there for a couple of sacks, and Ndamukong Suh started creating a lot of pressure. And really, that was the difference. I mean, it was a 10-point differential, but what really was the difference was how strong Aaron Donald came on at the end of the game. If you ask me, you know, that was the difference maker. Definitely a rough night for people that had, you know, Dalvin Cook as their starting fantasy back. I will tell you, I actually had the Minnesota Vikings as my starting defense in fantasy football. I got -7 points last night. That's the first time I've ever gotten negative points. So, yeah, just complaining there a little bit. But yeah, that's what I saw last night. It was really just based on what I saw in the second half. But if you go back and look at the majority of the game, the Rams were definitely coached better that game. And what I didn't like is that there were two different times that Anthony Barr was covering a wide receiver that he should not have been covering. He can't cover Cooper Kupp, can't cover Tavon Austin, and Los Angeles exposed a lot of bad matchups for Minnesota. If I have to say, there's one thing that was very negative, was the way that Minnesota defense was called. It was poor last night. They time and time again gave them these favorable matchups, and just gave them advantages that they really shouldn't have had. So, you know, the Minnesota Vikings defense definitely lost that game, and it's a big surprise. You know, you expected this defense to be one of the best in the NFL coming into this year. They didn't seem to have a liability anywhere in the defense, but yet, you know, they've been struggling. So anyway, you know, we'll see what happens with that. I mean, I honestly believe right now the Rams could go undefeated. They are without question the best team in football. I believe in a lot of ways what they're slowly becoming is football's version of the Los Angeles Lakers. Hey, they both got bright colors. They both have flashy players. Well, at least the Rams do now. The Lakers used to. They kind of do again with LeBron James. But, you know, that's really where the Rams are. They're the Showtime team there in L.A. I believe they're good enough to go 16-0 this year. All right, so taking a peek into the first game of this weekend, going to be looking at the Jets at the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know what a huge thing for Jacksonville is that Blake Bortles is playing better this year. You know, a lot of people criticized his arm strength last year. And you got to remember, when you're scouting, you got to scout on context. You got to know what injuries the guy has. And, you know, he had a wrist injury throughout all of last year. Definitely affects your velocity on the ball. He's shown improved ability to read defenses. He has good enough arm strength. You know, if you ask me at this point, you know, he's earned the right to remain their starting quarterback. You know, we got to see how he continues to play. He may go into a slump, I don't know. But, you know, Blake Bortles really has been a bright spot, because I think the expectations were is that, you know, this might be the Ravens and Trent Dilfer again. And I'll tell you, Blake Bortles is a much better quarterback than Trent Dilfer. I've watched him this year. I've watched him make some throws that are pretty difficult, actually. He's thrown into tight windows quite a bit. I've seen him make some difficult throws across the hashes. So, look, he can play. So, you know, I think people were critical that Jacksonville wanted to give him money. But ultimately, you know, he's going to have to go out and prove it this year. So far, he's looked serviceable as their quarterback. And for a defense that's as good as Jacksonville, it's probably enough. And really, what's going to be the key to this game this week is who plays better defense. Jets and Jacksonville both have top-rated defenses in the league. It's going to be a battle of who plays better defense and whose quarterback plays better. I mean, that's it. You know, if Sam Darnold and the Jets defense plays better, they're winning the game. If it goes their way with Blake Bortles and Jacksonville is getting pressure, you know, they're probably going to win the game. I would honestly go with Jacksonville at this point. The reason is that I think Blake Bortles is really starting to settle into his own. He's becoming a better player. I know they didn't put up a ton of points last week. I just think that the Jaguars are a better team, but look, you can't predict stuff anymore. Literally every single week we see so many games that, you know, you would never predict that this team would win. I know I wouldn't. So, look, the NFL, it's been a crapshoot this year, but, you know, I would definitely go with Jacksonville in this one. Taking a look at the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots. This is one of the, if the Dolphins win this game, this will be one of their biggest regular season victories of the last decade, because coming into this game, New England's 1-2, Miami is 3-0. If Miami can go 4-0 and England goes to 1-3, that is going to be huge. What is really making the Dolphins special this year is really everyone stepping up. Ryan Tannehill, Adam Gase has gotten him very comfortable in that offense. He's playing like a franchise quarterback. I always thought that it was stupid to even think about drafting another quarterback, because I didn't think his injuries were going to last forever. And he's shown me, even before the injuries, he has the tools. What's really helped the Dolphins has been their secondary. Micah Fitzpatrick has been outstanding. Xavien Howard, he's shut down Amari Cooper. I mean, big time the other week. So look, I love what Miami's building there. You got to remember, you know, Peyton Manning had great success, but his best success was at the end of his career when Adam Gase was his coordinator. Looks like he's doing a great job with Tannehill over there. In terms of who wins this one, look, the New England Patriots, when they're desperate, man, they will pull out some tricks. So I just think that they are in a desperation mode, and because of that, they are going to dig deep and they're going to find a way to get the job done. But if Miami wins this game, that will be huge. Tom Brady is definitely suffering because he's not really getting, you know, outside of Gronkowski, he's not really getting a whole ton of receiving help. At least not as much as I thought he would. I thought, you know, he would have, some of these guys would contribute more than what they have, and they just haven't. I mean, maybe they can get Josh Howard going. It's really going to help when they have Julian Edelman back. Right now, you know, that's Brady's go-to guy. He's comfortable with him, and, you know, that's a problem. But we're gonna see what happens. Because Tom Brady, he may have not played well last week. I get it. But this is not the beginning of the end for him. It's one game, and I think probably this week or next week you're going to see him come right back to his Pro Bowl Hall of Fame self. Texans taking on the Colts. Look, the Texans are a bad team. As great as J.J. Watt has been playing, and he was absolutely outstanding last week. As great as he's playing, he's looking like his former self. This is just not a good football team. They can't defend the run. Outside of J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, they really don't have much in their front seven. They're lacking at cornerback. Yeah, they got Tyrann Mathieu there, but they're lacking at cornerback without him. I just don't think Houston's a good team. And I think the Colts, they're going to find a way to get a run game going against him. I think they're going to win. Andrew Luck is the better quarterback. He's better than Deshaun Watson. Don't even think about arguing that. Clearly a better passer, a better talent. Yeah, Deshaun Watson, I think he's going to start to play better. He's really having some accuracy issues, though. I did notice that coming out of college. Hopefully he can fix it, but that was definitely a concern of mine. That's why I was surprised he did so well his rookie year. But look, the guy's proved he can be a sensational talent. He played good last week, but, you know, he's going to have to continue to get better at just some basic core things, which, you know, you got to understand. Look, he's still a young quarterback. He's going to get better, but accuracy and some other issues he could still clean up a bit. I do like the Colts in this one. Buffalo and Green Bay. Hey, look, last week I would have never thought that the Bills would have beaten the Vikings and really spanked them the way that they did. They had a good recipe last week. They were able to get to the quarterback. They played zone on the back end and played that zone really well. I think what's going to be the key matchup here is to see if the Green Bay offensive line can hold up to the Buffalo front four. They got a lot of pressure last week on Kirk Cousins. Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's not as mobile as what he normally is. He's still not 100% healthy. What the Packers also really need to do is they need to get Jimmy Graham more involved in the game. They brought him in to be their red zone threat. He hasn't gotten a touchdown so far. I will say this, that, you know, if they can't protect Aaron Rodgers and they can't start feeding Jimmy Graham the ball more often, I think the Bills are going to win this one. But ultimately, we'll see what happens with that. I can't I can't really say that there's no way the Bills can win, because look, they destroyed the Vikings last week. This one's a toss-up, but I still would give it to Green Bay. And then the Bears are going to take on the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers, they are going to have to find a way to stop Khalil Mack. He has been a force this year. Look, when I look at the best defensive players in football, there's four guys that, to me, are clearly ahead of everyone else. There's J.J. Watt, there's Aaron Donald, there's Von Miller, and there's Khalil Mack. These guys will all go down as some of the best players in the history of the game. And Khalil Mack, so far, he has been ruining offenses. Literally, he can win the entire game for you. He is that dominant. If they cannot find a way to contain Khalil Mack, I don't see a way that Tampa Bay is going to win. Not only that, Chicago has a great defense outside of that. Roquan Smith, I said he's going to be the real deal middle linebacker. I think he's going to be every bit of that and more. And I just don't think that Tampa Bay is going to be able to get the protection to really slow down Chicago's defense. I know Ryan Fitzpatrick has been playing great. The receivers are doing a great job, but I think that offensive line is going to be too outmatched, and because of that, I like the Chicago Bears in this one. Cowboys taking on the Lions. Look, I personally think that the key for this game is going to be for Dallas slowing down rookie running back Kerryon Johnson. The Lions had their first 100-yard rusher in a few seasons last week, and that is part of what helped them beat the Patriots last week. Dallas, they have a good front seven, but if Kerryon Johnson gets going and they can't contain him, it's going to be really, really hard for Dallas to score any points, because Dallas is going to stay off the field, and already their offense is not moving the ball well. And I mean, Dallas is struggling big time. They are struggling big time on the offensive side of the ball. Dak Prescott's playing well. The receivers are not getting separation. Ultimately, I think the Detroit Lions are going to take this one. Previewing the Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Atlanta Falcons. This is an even matchup in a lot of ways, and I'll tell you why. Both teams have two good quarterbacks that are playing well. Andy Dalton's underrated. He can make a lot of the same throws that Matt Ryan can make. And when you look at the way both teams are built and the way both teams are performing, they're both high-powered offenses. Both of their offenses are working and in sync right now. They both have a true number one wide receiver. Cincinnati has A.J. Green. Atlanta has Julio Jones. And they both have emerging number two wide receivers that are playing absolutely incredible. Cincinnati Bengals, their wide receiver Tyler Boyd, who I thought was going to be one of the biggest breakout stars of the year, he has been tremendous so far. The Atlanta Falcons, they are getting tons of great production from their rookie wide receiver Calvin Ridley. He's killing people on dig routes. He's killing people on seam routes. He's running. You know, that was one of the things about Ridley. In college, he ran the full route tree and ran it well. He's really, really great in the slot and has burner speed. Look, these two teams are matched up pretty evenly. I think one thing that will be a difference is Deion Jones, the Atlanta Falcons middle linebacker. Arguably the best coverage linebacker in the NFL. Atlanta has two good coverage linebackers. I think with Atlanta's offense being just a little bit more high-powered and having some better linebackers they can drop back in coverage, I like the Atlanta Falcons in this one. But don't get me wrong, both teams are evenly matched. I think it's going to be a shootout. Titans taking on the Eagles. Look, I think the Titans are outmatched. Marcus Mariota is not healthy. He had an elbow injury. Yeah, he played with grit and guts last week, but ultimately I don't think that their offense is really high powered enough to stand up to the Eagles defense. Their wide receivers are not getting separation. Marcus Mariota is not 100% healthy. The Eagles have a healthy Carson Wentz back. They have the better receivers, they have the better defensive line, and one thing that is really I think going unnoticed is how good the cornerback play of the Eagles secondary is. Rookie Avante Maddox has looked great. And Ronald Darby is turning into one of the best cover corners in the NFL. Philadelphia Eagles, I believe, are definitely going to take this one. Browns taking on the Raiders. Look, I know a lot of Raiders fans. They got to be upset over Khalil Mack still, because look, he's played lights out. But the Raiders are getting very good production from rookie rookie defensive end outside linebacker Arden Key, has a nice little swim move, is developing some good counter moves. I think he's going to be the real deal. Do I think he's going to be Khalil Mack? No, because Khalil Mack is one of the best players at the linebacker position in the history of the game. But the Raiders defense, I think it's starting to show promise. Really, their issues are going to be in the back end of their defense. And I think that's where they're going to lose this game, because they are not going to be able to defend guys like Jarvis Landry, Antonio Callaway, David Njoku. They're just not set up well to match up against them. Baker Mayfield's going to be starting. Ultimately, I just think the matchups favor Cleveland. Cleveland has a few good running backs they can use. Yes, Oakland has Marshawn Lynch, but you got to remember Cleveland has Carlos Hyde. They have the better receivers, and I believe the better defense. I like the Cleveland Browns in this one to win their second game of the year. This week we are going to see the NFL debut in terms of at least starting the game for quarterback Josh Rosen of the Arizona Cardinals. He's replaced Sam Bradford as their quarterback. They're going to be taking on their division rival, the Seahawks. Traditionally, when you look at these teams, when they've played each other over the past several years, they are not high-scoring games. I don't think this one's going to be any different. Josh Rosen, where he's got to be careful, is not throwing into the middle of the field, because Bobby Wagner is one of the best coverage linebackers in the NFL. He's going to give David Johnson a hard time. And you know, you have Earl Thomas on the back end. I think where Josh Rosen, what he's going to want to do is they're going to want to set him up with easy completions that are going to go to the outside. Do not test Seattle in the middle of the field. If they can do that and get David Johnson going, they have a chance. Otherwise, I like Seattle in this one. Just, you know, having Bobby Wagner and Earl Thomas there, it just makes such a huge difference. This one's a toss-up, but I do like the Seattle Seahawks in this one. The other thing we have to look at is when new quarterbacks come in, they traditionally get a spark. Look, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, all those teams played with a big spark when their rookie quarterback came in. So it is possible that the Cardinals are going to get the exact same thing. The Cardinals have Larry Fitzgerald, and they also have rookie wide receiver Christian Kirk, a guy I thought really should have gone at the end of the first round, a guy that I think is going to be a special player in this league. It is going to be a close one. I just give the slight edge to Seattle just because Bobby Wagner and Earl Thomas, those guys make such a difference. And even with the difference they make, you still can't discount what I just said before. Rookie quarterbacks coming in this year, and traditionally, they give their team a spark. Don't be surprised to see the Arizona Cardinals play a lot more aggressive, fired-up style of football. The New Orleans Saints are traveling to East Rutherford, New Jersey to take on the New York Giants. Both of these teams are in very similar situations. Both teams have quarterbacks that are coming off playing incredibly good games. Both teams have a true number one receiving threat. The Saints have Michael Thomas, who is arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL this year, against Odell Beckham, another guy who you could say is arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL so far this year. Both teams have dynamic running backs who can catch the ball out of the backfield and also line up as receiver. The Saints have Alvin Kamara. The Giants have Saquon Barkley. Both of those guys are similar, that they are explosive. They plant their foot in the ground. They look for the crease, and they get daylight after that. Both of them are also in similar situations because the Giants have Janoris Jenkins, who is their number one cornerback. He's going to line up against Michael Thomas. And the Saints have Marshawn Lattimore, who's going against Odell Beckham. But outside of that, they don't have a lot of other cornerback help outside of that. The New York Giants, Eli Apple, he is still injured this week. The one area where the Saints really have the advantage is that Cameron Jordan and Marcus Davenport, their rookie outside linebacker who's starting to play really good, they have both of those guys available. I don't know what the Giants are going to do in terms of a pass rush. We started to see some good stuff from B.J. Hill last week, but not having Olivier Vernon in the lineup, that does hurt them. I think the Giants' defense has been creative lately. I think when you want to look at the Saints' defense versus the Giants' defense, I trust the Giants' defense more. I think they're doing better play calling. If the Giants can limit Alvin Kamara, and I think James Betcher is going to dial up some creative plays to do so, the Giants are going to win this game. And I think ultimately just the fact that the Giants have a better defense than the Saints is going to be the difference in this one. I like the New York Giants, but this one definitely is a toss-up because both teams are evenly matched in a lot of different ways. 49ers taking on the Chargers. Sorry, I just think this one's over before it begins. The 49ers, they are not the same team without Jimmy Garoppolo. We all saw how they looked last year before Jimmy Garoppolo came in. I just don't think they have the recipe to win. When you look at the Chargers, they have Phillip Rivers playing quarterback. They have Melvin Gordon, who's turned into a great running back. They have two dominant receivers, and now the Chargers finally have a run defense as well as a pass rush. I think the Chargers are going to absolutely romp the San Francisco 49ers. They are just not the same team without Jimmy Garoppolo. I like the Los Angeles Chargers in this one. Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Look, after the battles that these guys have had over the last several years, it's quiet down a bit, you know, ever since Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, and those guys have been gone. But this has really turned into one of the most historic rivalries in the NFL in a short period of time, considering how long the Ravens have been in the league. But I think the difference this week, when you look at these two teams, is going to be Pittsburgh's offensive line is playing tremendous. I think they're going to be able to keep Big Ben healthy. They were able to do so last week. James Conner, I think they're going to be able to get him going, and I think that's really going to be the difference. That's really going to be the difference in this game. Baltimore, they can protect Joe Flacco, but I really do think that Pittsburgh's offensive line and being able to get James Conner going, it just opens up everything. I think they're going to win this one because of that. Because once they do that, it opens up things for Antonio Brown. One thing that absolutely just blows my mind with Baltimore is how good Terrell Suggs is still playing. The guy is heading into his late 30s. He's still playing at an incredibly high level. If you look at some of his recent tape this year, not only has he been a good pass rusher again, but he's been outstanding at key and diagnosing run plays. They're going to have to find a way to contain him, but outside of that, I don't know how many other weapons Baltimore should be able to have to go against this Pittsburgh offensive line. Another key thing is C.J. Mosley, the Ravens' middle linebacker, one of the best in the game. He is still injured. He might be playing this week, but you're going to want him to be fully healthy to go against James Conner and what the Steelers are going to bring to the table. I like Pittsburgh in this one. And then there was Monday Night Football. The Chiefs are taking on the Broncos. Patrick Mahomes, been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this year. Maybe the best quarterback in the NFL. I think Jared Goff will give him a run for his money on that one. But look, Patrick Mahomes, he's playing as well as any quarterback in the league. The Broncos, you know, he has not faced a pass rush that is good as what Denver has with Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. But I don't think that's going to be enough for Denver, and I'll tell you why. The back end of Denver's defense is not playing well, and I'm telling you, that puts a lot more pressure and makes it a lot harder for Von Miller and Bradley Chubb because they're not getting coverage sacks. I just think the back end of the Broncos' defense, outside of Chris Harris, it's too suspect. Considering what the Chiefs have as offensive weapons, it's just going to be too much for them. They got Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, other weapons as well. I like the Chiefs in this one. And again, I just think that Denver, until they can get the back end of that defense playing at a high level, it's going to make things a lot harder on Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. Going against this passing offense that Kansas City has, I think it's going to be too much. I like the Chiefs in this one. So that wraps up everything for week four. As I mentioned last week, every Sunday night, Sunday night after Sunday Night Football, I will be bringing you an episode to recap what happened on Sunday, breaking down all the action. This is Steve the Scout with the Pro Football Scouting Podcast, signing off. Talk to you guys on Sunday night. Oh, and one more thing. Don't forget, Wednesday is question and answer day. Send questions to stevethescout81@gmail.com. Steve the Scout is leaving the building. Thanks, folks.